If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. That's where we'll be this morning for a few short moments. Gospel of John, chapter 12. And read with me if you want, to yourself, of course. 6 days before Passover, Jesus arrived in Bethany. Lazarus, whom Jesus had brought back to life, lived there. Dinner was prepared for Jesus in Bethany. Martha served the dinner, and Lazarus was one of the people eating with Jesus. Mary took a bottle of very expensive perfume made from pure nard and poured it on Jesus' feet. Then she dried his feet with her hair. The fragrance of the perfume filled the house. One of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was going to betray him, asked, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for a high price and the money given to the poor?" Judas didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and carried the contributions. Jesus said to Judas, "Leave her alone. She has done this to prepare me for the day I will be placed in a tomb. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me with you." Here in the story of Jesus, in the gospel story of the life of Jesus, here we are given one of the most intimate portrayals in all of Scripture. Bethany is the place. It's a place familiar to Jesus because he has some good friends there. A family that includes two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who are depicted in all of the gospel renderings as close friends of Jesus. It's a week, just a few short days before Jesus will be battered and tortured and beaten and killed, as the scriptures predict in the Old Testament. And here he is in Bethany, the home of his good friends, eating dinner. Now, one of the disadvantages we have in this sermon series of not going in chronological order in the Gospel of John is that we don't get to see the story, or we don't get the story before this story in John chapter 11, which we will get to in a few weeks. And John chapter 11 is the story of Lazarus, again a good friend of Jesus that passed away, and Jesus goes to this town of Bethany where they're having this funeral and this sobbing and mass weeping for the death of Lazarus. And there Jesus raised Lazarus back to life. And there in that story we get those famous words, that short prayer, you know, before you want to eat your food and you don't feel like saying a long prayer, you want to say a short prayer, you just say, "Jesus wept," and then you eat. That's where Jesus wept comes from, this story of John, or Jesus raising Lazarus up from the dead. So we don't get an opportunity, because of the order we're doing these sermons, to get that story. But understand this, that the reason that we find ourselves in Bethany, and the reason we find ourselves at this dinner table, and the reason we find ourselves looking at this woman so passionate, wanting to do something to show her love, to show her gratitude, to show her thanks to this Jesus at the feet of Jesus. One of the reasons we see Mary here is because of what Jesus had done for her brother just a few days ago. We see Mary in all the Gospels always at the feet of Jesus. Martha is always the one preparing the food, serving the food. She's cooking the chitlins and grits. I was watching TV yesterday, and it was a Southern show. And I don't know if some of you from the South shrimp and grits? Is anyone here shrimp and grits? Anyway, Martha's preparing you shrimp and grits. I'm not getting that. I'm not getting grits. I want grits with eggs and bacon. But anyway, Martha's preparing the shrimp and grits or whatever they're having. And we see her. She's a worker. She's a busybody. You know, she's just busy. She wants to do. And it's all good. It's all good. No hating on Martha. But we always see Mary just at the feet of Jesus. If Jesus is teaching or telling a story, we see Mary just at the feet of the teacher, listening. Here again in this story, we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. You ever wonder, what did she know? What did she understand about Jesus that would cause her always to be at the feet of Jesus? I wonder if Mary, unlike many of those who followed close by with Jesus throughout his ministry, his own apostles. I mean, you read in John and you read in the other gospels how many times the apostles say, you know, they didn't understand these things until afterwards. I wonder if Mary was one who, because she intended to always be at the feet of Jesus, because she intended to hang on every word that Jesus said, maybe Mary understood something that these apostles just couldn't understand or didn't want to understand because they weren't listening close enough. I want you to know that John's portrayal of Mary in this story should say something about women. Now, I don't want to go off into a big tangent about women, about women's roles or things like that, but I will say this, that in many ways, the way that we treat women in our society and in church is just outright wrong. And I want you to know that the gospel writer portrays this woman as one who gets it. He portrays the apostles, the men, the leaders, as those that took a while to get, as those that continue to misinterpret what Jesus was saying, but he seems to portray this woman as one who gets it. Maybe Mary knew something that the others didn't know. Maybe that Mary's witnessing of the resurrection of Lazarus made her understand some of the things that Jesus was saying about how he was going to die and how he was going to be resurrected. So Mary, because maybe she had a better understanding, gets something in her possession, takes something in her possession, a pint a very expensive perfume, pure nard. I'm told that this is a very expensive perfume imported from India, and it was pure. It wasn't the diluted stuff. You know, the colognes and the perfumes that we put on, those are diluted with, you know, water and alcohol. This was pure stuff. This wasn't the knockoff stuff either that you see at Walmart. Nothing wrong with Walmart brands, but you know, not the knockoff stuff. You know, if you like CK1, you know, try our version of, you know, JR3 or something. You know, these aren't knockoff perfumes. This is pure stuff. And it cost, we see in the text, some 300 denarii or a year's wages. Some estimate that in our money terms, that this is something that would have cost between $18,000 and $30,000. She takes this expensive bottle of perfume. She anoints the feet of Jesus, wipes his feet with her hair. To touch feet in this society was the lowest of lows. Washing feet was something that was reserved for non-Jewish slaves. Even the Jewish slaves you know, kind of was repulsed by the idea of touching feet or washing feet. Mary takes the most humblest of positions at the feet of Jesus, anointing his feet, pouring this whole bottle. I'm also told that when you anoint people's feet with perfumes, you only take a few dabs and put it on their feet. But she poured the whole bottle. The scent filled the whole house. Whoever wrote this gospel must have been there. They must have been in the room. They smelled this pure nard. And she then takes what was sometimes described as the glory of the woman, the hair. She takes her glory and wipes, touches the feet of Jesus. Imagine. Go back there. You're there. You're at this dinner with Jesus. You're eating your meal. You're sopping that piece of bread and that gravy, or you're eating that lamb. You're eating, and you see this woman comes in, takes this perfume, pours it on Jesus' feet, and wipes it with her hair. Now, in the Gospel of John, Judas is described as the one who has the objection. But if you read the other Gospels, it says that all those apostles there had an issue with it. And I would imagine if we were there, we would be scratching our head. You know, the eyebrow goes up. You know, what's going on here? What is Mary doing? Quite simply, what we see in this story is one of the most honest, purest, passionate, powerful, true acts of devotion and worship that we see in all of Scripture. And it's an act of devotion and worship in response to the love of Jesus. So in essence, what Mary is doing with this extravagant act is saying, Jesus, I love you. I understand now what you're doing. In a few days from now, you've been saying it all along. In a few days, you're going to die. For me, you're going to be buried in a tomb. The very least I can do because of your love for me is to tell you I love you back. And she does it at the feet of Jesus. You know, coming to the feet, that's what worship is. The ultimate act of worship is placing yourself at the foot of the one that you want to give respect, reverence, and honor. So at the feet of Jesus, Mary worships. And through her worship, through the smell of this pure nard, through this humiliating act of sacrifice, she kisses the feet and says, oh Jesus, I love you. And what do we learn about worship from Mary? We learn that worship is sacrificial. What we bring to worship, what we bring to the feet of Jesus is a sacrifice. In Mary's case, she sacrifices a year's wages worth of perfume. What do we bring to worship? What do we bring to sacrifice? You know, time is precious to us, isn't it? How much of our time do we sacrifice in worship to Jesus? Huh? Think about it. Time and time again, we struggle with worship wars when we come together as an assembly, fight about how long should we spend in worship, or that's too short, or that's too long, or that's too many days. I went to church Sunday morning. I'm not trying to go to church on Wednesday. I'm not trying to go to church on Monday for prayer. I'm not trying to do that. It goes against the very nature of worship. Worship is about sacrifice, not about fitting it in. What do we learn about worship from Mary? We learn that worship, true worship, passionate worship, will affect your surroundings. The smell of this act of worship filled the whole house. The fact is, when you get your worship on, when you dedicate yourselves to passionate worship to God, when you get in tune with what it means to really get to the feet of Jesus and get to the idea of sacrificial worship, it affects your surroundings. People take notice, not because you want them to take notice, because it just happens that way. When you become a true, passionate, ardent worshiper of God, it affects the surroundings. It affects how things are done. It affects your perspective. It affects how things are done in your life. It affects how people look at you, how people treat you. It affects the way you treat others. It affects your surroundings. What do we learn about worship from Mary? We learn that worship sometimes might cause a stir. It may cause people to just step back and look at you like, what is wrong with Clint? What is wrong with that joker over there raising their hands? What is wrong with that? I have a friend named David, and you've seen David before. David's I guess kind terms, he's a robust gentleman. And I love David. I've learned more about worship from David, because David is an unashamed worship. And I remember times at college where we'd be having a devotional or we'd be having some sort of worship experience, and David, nothing. Number one, he always take off his shoes. He just worships, you know, barefoot. And there are times when we sing a song that really hits him, that David would just get on the ground face first, on his stomach, I mean, just sprawled out in worship to God. And you best believe there are a lot of us that say, what is this dude doing? Oh, he's just showing off. Oh, he's just wanting to be seen. But you know what? To David, all that mattered at that moment when he went face first on the ground was what Jesus thought of him. Not what I thought of him. Not what everyone else thought of him. It was all about Jesus. So Judas in this text has an objection, and Jesus says, leave her alone. Leave her alone. It's not about what you think can be done. It's about her expressing her love for me. It's all about Jesus, church. When you get your worship on, it's all about Jesus. Who cares what people think about you? Who cares what people say about you? Who cares who mimic you? Who cares? It's all about Jesus. But understand, because sometimes you get your worship on in the midst of other people, that it might cause a stir. But be encouraged that all that matters is Jesus. What do we learn about worship from Mary? We learn that you might find yourself doing stuff because you love Jesus. People may ask you questions. Why do you go to church all the time? Because I love Jesus. Why do you put so much money in the plate, give so much money? Because I love Jesus. Why do you drink a teaspoon of grape juice and a little sliver of bread and call it a meal? Because I love Jesus. Why do you spend time with people, even people you're so different from? Because I love Jesus. Why do you get to a point where you're telling people stuff that's going on in your life that you should just keep to yourself so people don't get in your business? Because I love Jesus. The fact is that everything that we do, everything that we say, every move that we make is rooted and flows from our love of Jesus. What we learn from Mary is that when you love Jesus, you do things, even strange things. But it's okay, because all that matters is Jesus. I know I've asked this question several times before, but you know, what's that love song? What's that love song that, you know, you and your wife or you and your husband went out on the first date and you went home and in the car a song came on, you know, you were listening to Delilah. And that song came on and you say, oh yeah, that's our song. The closer I get to you, or I don't know. Or maybe it was a country station and it was, you know, I love you more than my 76 pickup truck. I don't know, something. What's that song that just illuminates what it means in your relationship with your spouse? Do you have that song? Anyone want to share one? Do you have a song? Go ahead, Dan. Oh, truly. Oh, that's such a great song. A kiss to build a dream on. Love songs. They do something to you, don't it? Bring something up, doesn't it? It stirs something up, doesn't it? Can we sing some love songs to Jesus right now? Huh? Can we sing some love songs to Jesus? And the cool thing about love songs is that when you're singing this love song to the one that you love, it doesn't matter how good you sound when you sing. And so many times when you're so caught up thinking about the one you love, and you'll sing it to the top of your lungs, you don't care who's listening. People might be telling you, will you shut up, please? But it doesn't affect you. It doesn't bother you. Because it's all about the one who you love. So what do we learn from Mary about worship? We learn it's okay to sing a love song to Jesus. It's okay to express your love for Jesus in extravagant ways. It's okay to love him the best way that you know how, even if other people don't get it. You get it and Jesus get it, and that's all that matters. And when you worship and give your love in sacrificial and extravagant ways, I guarantee that Mary's life from this point forward was different. She lived differently. She spoke differently. She worshiped differently. She had new perspectives. She treated people everything, her whole life. It all starts when we profess to God to simply bring our all in sacrificial worship to Him. Bring our all to the feet of Jesus. And that's what I'm calling us to do today. To fall down at the feet of Jesus and cry, "Holy, holy, holy." Yeah, there's this scene in Revelation. We get to heaven. We all have these crowns that we all had. You know, Jesus said, "Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." Paul says, "You're going to get this crown." We all get to heaven, and we've got our crown. And you know what says took place? They took the crowns off, threw them at the feet of Jesus, because who cares about this crown? It's all about worship. Worshiping at the feet of Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing this song of invitation. If you need to come to Jesus, you come to Jesus. If you need to give your life to Jesus, you give your life to Jesus. If you need to start worshiping at the feet of Jesus, you start today. Fall down, throw your crown down, throw it all there. Sacrifice. Fall down at the feet of Jesus. And cry, "Holy, holy, holy."